Y'all messing with my little anime inspired hairdo site. No, I'm kidding. I just put my hair up. So I'm hoping you guys have listened to the last episode about how to avoid distractions. And really more so, how to avoid emotional distractions. I think that's actually what it's titled, how to avoid emotional distractions. Oh man, I'm so distracted. I can't even remember what my last episode title is, man. I'm washed. No, I'm kidding though. I really wanted to tie that episode to this one because I think they connect really well. Like, I wanted to be able to address everything that I wanted to say in that episode, but clearly I yapped for a good 30 and that didn't really go anywhere. So, no, I mean, it did go somewhere. Like, I'm glad I got to say what I had to say, but it's just like, if you're a content creator, right? If you're a content creator, have you ever had the experience where you're going into, maybe you're about to live stream, maybe you're about to record a video, and you go into it thinking, okay, this is my approach and how I want to do it. But then you do it, and it's like, you did it, and it's like, okay, you did good, but it's not exactly what you had wanted or maybe envisioned. And that's kind of how I feel right now, honestly, about that fourth episode. But it was fun, honestly, kind of exploring my past and my past experiences. Man, I'm looking through my blinds right now, and I'm sorry, this is a distraction, but I'm gonna distract y'all real quick. It's like I'm seeing like the freaking The Grudge or something. What's the name of Sadako? Is that the name? What's the name of the grudge person or whatever from the movie? It's like, and I'm looking at this window, the angle that it's at, it looks like I can see a person in a white dress or whatever, a girl in a white dress and like long hair and stuff. But that's whatever. Let's get to the title of this episode. So the title of today's episode is going to be how to manage stress. And for me, life, I think the first time I got stressed out, like genuinely stressed out to the point where I almost kind of, it broke me actually, low key. So when I turned 18, yo, another episode. Yo, I'm gonna have to like go back and just think, reflect on my life back then, because this is like the second or the third time where certain stuff has happened to me around the time when I turned 18, and that really kind of changed my life. Like, let it be for the good or the worse. Just wanted to drink some water real quick. Yeah. So I remember when I was about to start college. This was the summer after I had graduated high school. I was supposed to go to university. To be honest, I wasn't really feeling the university at all. I really wasn't. It's like, it was cool because it was my first time going to like a university in the capacity of, let me adjust myself real quick. Y'all like my t-shirt? I really like the Star Wars t-shirt. I wish I had one for like Anakin and Obi-Wan or something like that. That looked like this. But, oh, and that's in the video. Yo, I have to get better about saying everything I need to say, because some of y'all might not be watching the video podcast. You might be listening to the video podcast. And yeah, back to what I was saying, right? So I had graduated high school. In high school, my first 2 years of high school, garbage. Actually, no. My first year of high school, if I'm being fully transparent, I graduated with like a, I mean, not graduated. No, you couldn't graduate. Oh, no. Hell no. You can't graduate with a 1.0 GPA. Hell no. But yeah, I finished my freshman year of high school in a brand new state and everything with a 1.0 GPA. And long story short, obviously I got up out of that. Shout out to my mom. Y'all might hear me salute my mom sometimes because she, you know, she did what she had to do for me, and I really do appreciate it. And so we got past that. I was in, I don't want to call it like remedial geometry or whatever, but it was like geometry for like the people that couldn't make it to regular geometry. Yo, but that class was so, it was easy-ish. Honestly, my sophomore year of high school is what showed me that, like, okay, I can actually do good in school and stuff. But that don't matter. I'm sorry about that distraction, y'all. I'm sorry about that distraction. I'm gonna drink some more water real quick. Something about that ice cold water that just be hitting, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, let's actually restart this. So my senior year of high school, I had no fucking clue where I was about to be going. I didn't know not shit. I didn't know if I was gonna be going to, because I went to high school in North Carolina. So the university I was actually gonna go to, yo, shout out to UNC Pembroke. That's what I'm saying. Shout out to UNC Pembroke. And I took my SATs, my ACTs, I did all that I had to do. And I was really gunning for like one of the UNC schools, maybe ANT, like maybe NCANT. There was no freaking way I was gonna go to NC State at that time with that GPA. There was no way. But I did graduate from there in the future. So that did happen. And yeah. I was trying to find universities, and I forget even how I found UNC Pembroke. I think I just found it and I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, no one really talks about it. Like, I'm 17 years old at the time. I didn't know nothing about nothing. I'm like, oh, let me apply to the school. We got the letter and everything. I was happy, like happy, really, really happy. And I graduated. I was probably the only person in my friend or like one of my friend groups. I had like, actually, nah. I think I only really had one friend group. And then I had like my one friend that like me and him would just link up with everybody else and shit. So it's like, of my one friend group, no offense, y'all, all white. Yo. Of my friend group, right? Of my friend group, I was the only black person out of like four or five of us, I want to say. And I remember thinking to myself back then, like, oh, I'm so proud. Like, I'm so proud to go to get into a university and like just graduate high school and start college, right? And I was really proud of that. I was really proud of that. I think I had one friend, like one of my best friends, he had gotten a scholarship, but he said he didn't want to get and go to college for that. So I was just like, okay, you're just not gonna go then, I guess. And then the my other friend in our group, he was actually going to university as well, or college. And I think he ended up not going to, because essentially, ultimately, I'll say that for later, because I don't want to spoil this, right? So we're about probably towards the end of my summer after graduating high school, right? And I started kind of just getting prepared for that transition from high school to college and getting all my stuff that I need, like school supplies, all that back to school shit and stuff. And I remember I had signed up for the orientation. It was like in July. Oh, so much stuff happened that summer. I'm not gonna lie, I was probably 20. I always say this, 18 probably was the most traumatic year of my life, actually, when I think about it. 18 was pretty traumatic. Pretty traumatic when I think about it, actually. I didn't mean to make this Yo, I didn't mean to make this dark. And we can talk about that in a future episode, why it was so traumatic. But yeah, so my mom and I, we go to the orientation. It's an orientation where you get to stay in the dorm with one of the other freshmen that are coming in or whatever. So I remember like I roomed with this one dude that was gonna be a freshman with me. We were both gonna be going to like Pembroke and stuff. I think we're actually going to end up in the same dorm, the same residence hall. Resident hall? Residence? Anyways. And I was vibing. Like I was kind of slowly but surely getting immersed into the college experience, or at least what I thought the college experience was going to be. And we get towards the end of the orientation. So my mom was I think my mom was like staying at a nearby hotel or something. Yeah, I think she stayed at a hotel nearby. And so it was like the last day of orientation. We had already like register for our classes, gotten to know people, have gotten to know each other now, gotten to get more familiar with like what campus life is probably going to be like, going to the food halls and all that stuff. And my mom and I had went to the financial aid office, and we were talking to the person at the financial aid desk, whatever, just talking about our options and stuff. And essentially, like, I mean, we were going to have to pay out of pocket for school. And I mean, not pay out of pocket. I don't know. Nah, that's not what happened. What happened? No, what happened was, so we were looking at the options for like the loans and stuff. And I really was like, it was probably one of the first, I always say this, this was probably one of my first adult decisions that I made before I turned 18. And I really was feeling like, I don't want to go here if you have to pay for all this. Like, I don't want you and my stepdad to be paying for all this. No, I didn't want that. It didn't feel right. And I didn't necessarily say all of that. I kind of said a few things at that time. And then we left from orientation, went back home, a few weeks pass, and we're like, it's getting close to that time that's supposed to be going to UNC Pembroke and stuff, right? And so it was like a Tuesday or something. I don't remember. I remember Teen Wolf was on TV, and I had just finished watching an episode of Teen Wolf. And it was, and I was kind of, honestly, I was kind of getting overwhelmed by the feeling of going to college, I think. And on top of that, going to a college that didn't feel right. And I remember my mom and I were like just talking and stuff, and I kind of just panicked. I just panicked, honestly. This is my first and only panic attack, honestly. It turned into a panic attack. Like, I was literally just kind of like, the stress kept building and building. And then it's like, I'm over here on the floor and stuff. Like, I can't breathe. I felt like I couldn't breathe. I'm over here touching my legs and stuff. I'm like, I can't feel my skin. I'm touching my arms. I'm like, I can't feel my arms. And it's like, I'm like, I can't feel my face. Like, what's going on? And it's like, I was basically having, I had a panic attack, essentially. We found that out because we went to the emergency room and stuff. Gosh, when I realized, I'm like, bro, I had a panic attack. Like, that was nuts. I've never had a panic attack before in my life. I promise you, before that, I never did. But I say all that to say that although I was 17 when I went to the orientation and stuff, and I was 18 a month later or whatever, if I had just really, it's a lot. Cause I'm also like, I'm being realistic too. Cause I'm a parent now. I have a daughter. And so if my daughter was 17, about to turn 18, about to start college and stuff, and she was expressing feelings of like doubt or whatever, like, I would listen to her and I would trust her. And that's what my mom did. Like, I literally was crying, panicking. Like, I don't want to go to this school. I'm good. I'll go to community college. Like, I don't care. Like, I don't care. And so that's what ended up happening ultimately. So I ended up going to community college and went to NC State. And here we are, basically, right? And I use that example and that story of mine because that's an example of not managing stress the best at all, really. I didn't know any better back then, though. But what I can say now is, when it comes to managing stress with what my life is now, I got so much more stuff going on. I could care less about not going to this school or that school now, if that were the case. Like, life is just so different now, 10 years later. And so I say the best way now that I've learned to manage my stress today so I don't have a panic attack is, I just really have learned to, from a health standpoint, I've really just learned to try to listen to my body. So if I feel more tired than usual, I'll ask myself, oh, why do I feel more tired than usual? What happened? It's like, oh yeah, I freaking only got 3 hours of sleep. Sometimes it's as basic as that, right? Like, oh, you only got 3 hours of sleep. Of course you're freaking tired when you went to sleep at like 5 a.m. and you're up at 8 and you're trying to be up for a whole day. And sometimes I'll listen to my body too. And it's like, if my body feels anxious, I'll say this too. I had, like, when I tell you guys, I've had a lot of experiences when I turned 18. I had my first panic attack when I turned 18. I was sleep deprived. I experienced sleep deprivation. When I tell you, I've never experienced sleep deprivation before. Sleep deprivation, that'll get you fucked up. It really can if you don't monitor it right. You know what I mean? And so, even from just those two experiences, I learned a lot. Even after I had the panic attack, I had this, like, I don't know if just my, like, I just became crazy anxious after that during that time, but I still would have times where it's like, when I get anxious, I would touch my knee, my leg, my arm, my face, like, and sometimes now I feel like I still have it at times, but I've learned to manage it because I realize that, yo, you're good, you've been through so much, you know how to manage this stuff, you're good. And usually that's all it really takes for me to do that. Similarly to the last episode when I was talking about how I got upset, how I got angry. 10 years ago, if I got angry like that, I probably would have crashed out. Probably would have crashed driving, literally. But today, I just have had so many life experiences that have kind of just taught me how to be how I can be now when it comes to, like, my health, when it comes to managing my stress. Because stress will get you fucked up. It really will. Overall, sleep deprivation will get you messed up. Panic attacks will get you messed up. But stress is ultimately what leads to some of those things. Stress for me specifically is what made me have that panic attack in the first place, right? And I still had other times. It wasn't the last time that I had close to a panic attack, but what I learned from future times when I would start getting anxious and stuff, I would really just stop everything that I'm doing and just take a deep breath. Just take a deep breath. Relax, look around you. I'm like, shoot, if I have to go take a shower because I feel like I'm about to have a panic attack, I'm like, all right, let me go take a shower. Just do something to kind of just relax. Maybe I'm doing too much right now in my life. Maybe I'm overworking myself, and let me just chill and watch some Naruto Shippuden at that time back then. Or now, like, let me watch some One Piece, or let me go back and rewatch Mighty Morphin Power Rangers or Power Rangers Lost Galaxy or something. Like, just trying to find your happy place, right? And that's what's helped me manage my stress at times, is finding my happy place. And I ain't no doctor. I ain't no therapist. I ain't no psychologist, a psychiatrist, none of those things. A psychiatrist and a psychologist, I think they're doctors, right? They're still doctors, right? In a way. But what I can say is, from my life experiences, that's what I've been through. And that's how I try to manage my stress best now, is I try to find my happy place. And if I'm in my happy place and I'm still stressed out, I'm like, maybe I just need to isolate myself and just be in the room by myself, away from my daughter and her mom, or away from family. Like, sometimes you just need a time to yourself. I'm also an introvert, so I get drained sometimes when I'm around a lot of people that I don't really know with, that I'm not really cool with. I also know sometimes I get at a certain point, as much as I love to yap and as much as I'm a natural yapper, there's certain times I do get tired of talking. It's like, oh, damn, I'm like, sometimes I just be like, yo, I've been talking for this long. I still remember, yo, I can't believe I did a 6 hour review damn near for The Accolade. Yo, I did a 6 hour review. And it's crazy because even after I was done with that, I actually wasn't like feeling stressed out or exhausted from all the talking. I guess I must have enjoyed that one. But yeah, I think those are the things that helps. You need to be very self-aware of yourself. Like, very, like, you got to be self-aware. You got to be self-aware so you know yourself. No one knows you better than you know yourself. Even now, my own mom will even say that I know you, because she does know me. She does know me, but at the same time too, she doesn't know all these experiences and everything I've internalized to kind of internalize and export it or whatever to be how I am now. But it's funny too, because like I would say the same thing to my daughter, but I also know too that even with her experiences are going to be her own experiences. So I'm not going to necessarily all the way be like, I know you, but there is a certain level of, I do know you, because you know how, if you're a parent, you know how your child is going to approach certain things. But at a certain point, they grow up and they learn and they become independent, like myself in a way, you know? So yeah, I think self-awareness is very important. I think just being aware of your surroundings. Maybe you're working a job that stresses you out. Maybe you're a content creator like me, and being a content creator stresses you out. And I think I'm going to focus on that point specifically and wrap this up. And so when it comes to being a content creator and managing stress, for me personally, I'll say for myself, there's times I've been stressed. But usually the stress, initially when I first started this journey, before I took a hiatus, I would say what I stressed out the most was probably, I'll say, views, my video quality, all this type of stuff. Like, the usual shit that you're probably going to stress out about when you start off doing YouTube and you're a small channel at that, with not that many, not like less than 100, less than 50 subscribers. You know what I mean? You can even picture that. And so I was stressed about like the views. I think there was a time when I used to, like, I'll admit it too, I don't do it no more now, but there was times I used to just watch my videos over and over and over again. But the more and more I started like just recording more things, more content for my channel, and exploring other aspects of what content I can make, it kind of helped me disconnect from the views thing. I think the views are always going to be views. I think even someone that doesn't care about views, views still matter to a certain degree, because regardless if you're looking at views like, hey, I'm a step closer to getting more subscribers now because I'm getting mad views, and I'm a step closer to getting my watch hours up so I can be a part of the YouTube partner program and all that type of stuff. So I guess I'm speaking specifically to being a YouTube content creator now when it comes to that. And so I think what I found when it comes to managing my stress is readjust your focus and really ask yourself, why are you stressed about it? Why are you stressed about views? You shouldn't really care about views. You really shouldn't. I don't either. I do care about views, but I don't care about views in the sense of I'm like DJ Academics or DDG, no shots, but these are guys that I can think of at the top of my head that I've watched that they always talk about the numbers. Oh, I got this many views. Oh, this artist is selling X amount of album units or whatever. Like, so when I think of views, I'm not really saying that. To me, views are important to me because it means someone is watching my stuff. And that's all I really care about. I care that someone is watching, and I think about how can I connect with this person. Like, yeah, they watched my video, but did they comment? And that's kind of how it is. And I think when it comes to that aspect of making content, and now you can apply that to, you can apply that to other platforms. Because there's plenty of platforms out there that are about either how many people are watching you live, if we're talking like a live streaming trap form. What the fuck is a trap form? A live streaming platform like a Twitch or a TikTok, or just views, comments, engagement in general. But for me, that's how I always look at it. You have to really look at things very simply sometimes, and instead of just overcomplicating things. Another thing I struggle too with is, I've struggled with paralysis by analysis, because I'm King Overthinker. That's really what this channel should be called, King Overthinker, because there's times in my life that I have literally just spent before I was a parent, before I found the one, I was literally just overthinking stuff. There's times I'd be at my parents' place at like I think 21, 22 years old in college, and I'd be staying up like just thinking and talking to myself like dang, why am I doing this back in school? Oh, Dan Allen. No, for real though. I would find myself just overanalyzing stuff sometimes, but for my own pleasure in a weird way, which is why I even made a YouTube channel in the first place, because honestly, the passion that really started to cultivate leading me to having a YouTube channel is I would just watch people review shit that I like, a movie, a TV show, an anime, even gaming. And I would think to myself, like, I could flip like Spider-Man better than him. He said that he didn't like Fat Thor in Avengers Endgame. But you know what? When Thor saw his mom and when they're time traveling in the Endgame, that shit made me cry. You know what I mean? Like, it's not specifically stuff like that, but I just realized, I'm like, yo, I'm at the point now where the reviews from other people are still entertaining for me, but it's not feeding me like it used to. I think I'm at the point now where it's like, I want to make my own channel, start doing my own thing. And I did that, but you go through the same motions. I'm telling you, it's a cycle unless you really, really know. And I think you can even apply that to managing your stress. You should know if you do struggle with stress sometimes, think about what is the cycle that you kind of go through when it comes to dealing with your stress. Genuinely, think about that. Think about the cycle that you go through dealing with your stress and ultimately what you can do to break that cycle, to break the wheel. You know what I mean? It's hard getting into a pattern and a schedule that you're just kind of locked into, and then you're like, I want to try these other things, but I can't break out of this schedule. And my loud ass AC just turned on, but I'm glad y'all can't hear it though. I was just looking at the mic volume to just make sure that y'all don't hear it. But yeah. So when it comes to being a content creator, honestly, and managing stress, I think that's the way to do it. I think you have to be realistic. You can't go into this to be a content creator today, and I've talked about this before, so I'm not going to hammer this home much longer, but to be a content creator today, there's certain things you can do. Like, I know there's certain things I could do to really make myself grow, but it wouldn't be authentic to myself. And I really want this podcast and my channel and everything that I do to feel authentic. And if it's not feeling authentic, please tell me, because yeah, episode 4 wasn't even supposed to be how to avoid emotional distractions. It was supposed to be about completely something else. I had recorded that episode, but not that episode. But I just experienced what I experienced that day and those emotions that I had. And it kind of reminded me like, oh yeah, I'm trying to be authentic. And I have this podcast called The Prime Feeling, which at the end of the day is about what's the main feeling you're feeling, or what's the main feeling I'm feeling today, and how can I connect my feelings with your feelings in a way, you know, making that the prime feeling. Gosh, I'm not trying to sound like a salesman right now. God, I hate sales so much. I hate salespeople. No offense, y'all. I don't fucking like sales at all. But yeah, I hope that did help you guys out. I hope it did. And we can talk more about even specific, just maybe stress management styles or whatever. But I would say, honestly, to keep it basic when it comes to me, just try to do what I do, or maybe try to pull from some of what I'm telling you and what you're listening to me for when it comes to this episode, and maybe tie it to what you're doing. But if you are stressed out with some stuff and you need some help with it, I mean, comment on this YouTube video. or DM me on social media, whatever. Or just look online and just see what you can find on there. I think a lot of the times I even underestimate how useful this freaking phone can be sometimes, and how useful the internet can be. The internet can be brain rot too, but that's for another day. Anyways, I hope you guys did enjoy this episode on how to manage stress. I'll see you for the next one. Peace.